For us, the time that we stand before you, we have a subject matter on our mind that is beautiful. My manner of presentation may not put it that may not be on that end, but if not, I encourage you to go home and read the two books that we will be looking at this evening primarily. There are a lot of love stories in Scripture, a lot of wonderful relationships, and certainly our friendships are the fellowship of the saints of God is a great blessing to us. You can look in Scripture and you'll see, you can read about Ruth and Naomi. What a beautiful relationship that was. You can read about Ruth and Boaz. What a beautiful relationship that was. You can read about Jonathan and David. What a beautiful relationship that was. Above all, of course, is Jesus Christ and His bride, the church. That's the greatest love story ever told, that the man Christ Jesus left the portals of heaven and came and died on the cross of Calvary in great shame and humiliation for that elected family of God that was chosen in the covenant of grace before the world began. But tonight we want to look at a relationship that was very beautiful. Not to the degree of Jesus Christ and His church, but parallels the other ones that I mentioned in Scripture, and that's the relationship between Paul and Timothy. What a beautiful relationship it was. Paul was Timothy's father in Israel. He was his mentor. He had a great love for Timothy. It's expressed in Scripture. In 1 Timothy, Paul is writing to this young brother. And he refers to him as my son in the faith. My son in the faith. There was no natural ties between Paul and Timothy. In 2 Timothy, he refers to him in the salutation at the beginning of it. He says, my dearly beloved son. He says, my son in the faith, my dearly beloved son. Let's go back and look at how this relationship began. To do that, you've got to go back to the book of Acts in chapter 16 in the very first verse. It says, then came he to Derbe and Lystra. That's talking about Paul. I think Barnabas was with him at this time. But then came he, that's talking about Paul, to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. He came to Derbe and found a young preacher that was a good report. His mother was a devout Jew. His father was a Greek and an unbeliever, a Greek Gentile and an unbeliever. That's not a recipe for success. I've seen it many times before where usually it's that way, it seems like. The father is not a religious man. Does not acknowledge Jesus Christ as the Son of God. But those mothers, sometimes they have a great spiritual influence upon their children. And apparently this was the case here. You'll find in 1 Timothy three things I want to point out this evening that are worthy to be discussed and examined a little closer. Paul is telling Timothy here in this book. We Bible scholars tell us that there were I think five books of the Bible that Paul penned while in prison. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, and 2 Timothy. Now 1 Timothy, he's writing to this young brother, and he gave him some advice. You know, I think about Brother Joe, what a blessing it was for me that my father in the ministry was my earthly father. I was influenced greatly by other godly men who stood on the watch walls of Zion, who studied this book. You know, in this book, he told Timothy, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But here in the very beginning of chapter 2 in 1 Timothy, he gives him some of the best advice you can give a young minister or anybody that is a child of the King. I exhort you, I encourage you that first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. he's telling this young brother, pray diligently, pray fervently. I mentioned the situation at work with me. I'm praying about it. That when you start, you get involved in situations where people lose their livelihood, where people may forfeit their teaching license. Brother Joe, that's a serious thing. And you know, the job sometimes it seems like it's just more than I signed on for. But sometimes when you're at the, Brother Doug laughing, he said, I told you to retire. It's coming. But we want to make a difference while we're there. He told his young brother, said, I exhort you. Timothy, the best thing I can do, you know, he wasn't going to be with him all the time. Paul was with Timothy a lot of the time, but not all the time. But that's something available to us when we're in a crowd or when we ride by ourselves in this world. Brother Russell, we can pray. Supplications, prayers, intercession, giving of thanks for all men. And then he began to tell him something else very, very important. Have you ever been to an ordination service for a deacon or a minister in which one of the books of Timothy wasn't mentioned? I venture to say you'll never do it. If you do, I don't know if I want to be at the ordination. I don't know. It may not be of value to the Lord's people. But he said in chapter 3 at the very beginning in 1 Timothy, he said, this is your true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Now, I find in Scripture, and it's extremely important. Most of you have been around me for many, many years. And I think you understand my spirit, that I would never cast stones at anyone. I would never try to offend my brother who may believe differently from me. But I find in Scripture there's only two titles to which you can refer to a God-called, ordained minister in the church. And that's bishop and elder. That's the only two I find. You know, Psalms 111:9 says, holy and reverend is his name. I mentioned this before, and I've conducted several funerals in the Tylertown area across the years. And down at Capps Funeral Home or Harvin, whichever it is, the one right out there east of town now. But one time I went down there and they had my name misspelled. They had M-E-Y, they had Elder Mickey Myers, M-E-Y-E-R-S in the program. After the visitation, I wanted to get one just to go home and kind of look at order of service, take it home with me. The one that had M-E-Y-E-R-S, and I tell people the M-E-Y-E-R-S are the Myerses with the money. We're the other group. But I did not ask for those to be reprinted. Did not. They had a stack of them there, and my name was misspelled, but that's irrelevant. But one time I went there, and in the program, they had Reverend Mickey Myers, and probably had, I would say, 75 to 100 stacked up there. I told the older brother at the funeral home, I said, Brother, I started to say, I hate to ask you to do this, but I really don't. I don't hate to ask you to do this, but I tell you what I do. I'll pay for the copies, but I don't want these copies to go out tomorrow at that funeral with Reverend in front of my name. Holy and Reverend is his name. We got to reprint those. And he said, oh, no, you ain't got to pay me. I'll reprint them, which he did. And I thanked him for that. And Brother James tried to make a point with him. I'm among the old Baptists. That's serious business. But now in chapter 3, he's telling us that this is the true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. I looked up apt and it said suitable, ready, quick, qualified. You know, the Bible says be instant in season, out of season. Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. And the verse 7 says, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, outside of the church. Now that's the checklist. Before you ever form a presbytery, before you ever call for the ordination of a man to preach and become recognized by the church as elder of the church, and you need to make sure that he fits those categories. Are we perfect in those things? No, indeed not. But that's the qualifications for a bishop. He told Timothy, he said, pray. He said, here are the qualifications. And also at the end of, near the end of 1 Timothy, in chapter 4 at least, he says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and charity and conversation and spirit and faith and purity. Then he goes on to say, till I come. What does that tell you? He's going to check on Timothy, isn't it? He's going to see, until I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. He said, neglect not the gift that is in thee. He acknowledged that Timothy had a gift. They met in Derby. This man had a good report. The people of Antioch and Iconium spoke very highly of him. They saw evidence that he was a child of God. They mentioned in Scripture, and in 2 Timothy, Paul is talking about the unfeigned faith that he saw in Timothy. He said, which I first saw in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. When I was younger, I used to wonder, where was the daddy in that situation? Where's the grandfather? I just told you, his daddy was a Greek. We don't have to wonder about that. It's in Scripture for us. The dad was a Greek and an unbeliever. But his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice had a godly influence upon him. And he said, Timothy, that unfeigned faith I saw in your mother and your grandmother, I'm persuaded that you possess it as well. That puts him in line to a great extent, more than likely, for those qualifications of a bishop that we just mentioned a few moments ago. He said, meditate upon these things. Meditate upon these things. I don't know if you've ever done it or not, but I have. You can Google 52 week Bible reading plan. I don't know if anybody ever done that or not. You know what I found when I was doing that? I was reading, it seemed like, because I had to read this chapter and these verses tonight. I had to get this in, Brother James. But he's saying here, meditate upon these things. Meditate upon these things. Think deeply about them. Let them soak in and pray for wisdom to understand the Scriptures. You've heard me say before, there's some things in Scripture that I have no clue what it's talking about. Not a clue. I try to stress too much over those things and thank God for the things that I do understand. He says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now we'll go over to 2 Timothy. We just kind of skimming the surface tonight because we try to, Brother Wayne Meyer says, we try to use ingredient, one of the most important ingredients in the church on Wednesday night sermons, and a shortening. But he told him, you know, Brother James preached on this a while back, and then I took it and went with it as well, Brother James. And in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, he says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's the desire of Paul. I think the older I get, if the Lord allows me to continue to live upon this earth, I think the older I get, the stronger desire I'm going to have for young ministers to be called and to preach his glorious gospel. I would pray one day I could be a mentor to a young brother who had the desire. I ain't talked to Brother James about it yet, but he mentioned a 3-year-old here at our annual meeting that said he wanted to be a preacher. Oh, I pray that he is one when he gets a little older. I've heard them, you know, I've seen men ordained in their 50s. I've seen men ordained in their teens. Oh, we need to pray that the Lord would send laborers into this harvest. Paul understood that his ministry was coming to an end. He said that in chapter 4. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. And that departure, I believe, is the same departure that was talked about with Rachel over in Genesis, where her soul was in departing and she gave birth to Benjamin. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me, and not to me only, but to all them who love thine appearing. Oh, I'm excited about the appearance of the Son of God, Brother Burrell, when he comes back to do what he said he was going to do. He said, if I go away, I shall come again. He's coming back. I mentioned Brother Wayne Myers earlier. You know why I know he's coming back? Because he promised that he would. He's coming back, dear friends, and it's not going to take him 1,000 years. In a moment of twinkling of an eye, we shall all be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Brother James preached on change at Antioch the other night. Yeah, I look forward to that change. All the days of my appointed time, I will wait till my change come. I look forward to that change. Paul, let's go on. Like I said, we're just going to skim the service here this evening, but I encourage you to go back and read 1 and 2 Timothy this week. He said in verse 10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake. I endure all things for the elect's sake. I think about across the years where God, the godly men. I looked not long ago in a minute of our association from, I don't know, the late 1960s perhaps. And I don't think it's any of those ministers left that were home ministers in our association at that time. They've all of them have gone on to be with the Lord. And, thankfully the Lord has called godly men to preach and try to continue to keep house for him in such a way that he would not remove the candlestick from us. You know, Paul said it 5 times he was beaten, 40 lashes saved one by the Jews. Said 3 times he was beaten with rods. One time he was stoned. 3 times he suffered shipwreck. All kind of perils it talks about in Scripture. But he's telling Timothy, said, I endure all things for the elect's sake. It's that important. Whatever I have to go through, I'll endure it for the elect's sake. He goes on in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and tells him it's not going to be easy, Timothy. It's not going to be easy. He said this in verse 10. He says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Out of all the persecutions I faced, the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But he told him, he said, Timothy, you understand what happened to me at Antioch. You remember what happened to me at Iconium. You remember me what happened to me at Lystra. If you go back and look in Scripture, but you have to go back around Acts 13, 14, 15, you'll find this. When he went to Antioch, Paul and Barnabas preached. One day they had a big crowd at church. The next Sunday, almost the whole city came together to hear the Word of God. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. But there were some among the Jews that were stirred up and expelled Paul and Barnabas from their coast. They got expelled. Expelled from the coast of Antioch. They dusted off their feet. They rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and they went to Iconium. At Iconium, they found the same thing. They found some that the gospel they were preaching had a lodging place in their heart. But some of them did not believe, and they stirred up those at Iconium. And the Bible says the assault came and to use them despitefully and to stone them. But they escaped, and they went to Lystra. And at Lystra, there were those from Antioch and Iconium that came to Lystra and stirred up the people there. They stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city, supposing he was dead. Oh, in Antioch, they expelled him. In Iconium, they had a plot to stone him. In Lystra, they stoned him. and thought he was dead. But what did he tell this young preacher? Oh, I endure all things for the elect's sake. I'm going to keep preaching, Timothy. I'm going to preach until the Lord calls me home. I remember one time there was some kind of article in the Jackson paper, in the Clarion Ledger, and Brother Jim Poe was mentioned in the article and quoted, and they referred to him as a retired Primitive Baptist minister. When I saw, yeah, no such thing. When I saw Brother Jim later, I said, Brother Jim, how'd you pull that off? He said, Brother, don't believe everything you read in the paper. There's no retirement. You got to keep preaching. I endure all things for the elect's sake. You preach until, as long as you have the mental faculty and the physical ability. I've seen a preacher sit in a chair and preach. And preach with the power and demonstration of a resurrected Savior. What a blessing that is. Let me try to wrap this up. We may go just a little over our 30 minutes tonight, but not long over. I want to mention a couple other things that he's pointing out to Timothy. He told Timothy, he said, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That's good advice to a young minister. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. I like profitable things. Profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In verse 9 of chapter 4, he says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Now remember in chapter 1, in 1 Timothy, he said, until I come. I'm coming to see you, Timothy. But now Paul is probably in prison here, and he's a broken man. He's near the end of his life, and his departure is at hand. And he's telling Timothy, said, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. He said something very, very sad. You know, I've heard, I think Brother Ricky Harco mentioned one time, there's a lot of sad verses in Scripture, but two of the most common ones are, over in the Old Testament, Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. And here's one too. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He tells him, said, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. You're talking about a powerful statement to a young preacher? There it is right there. Go back and read about this. When they were in Pamphylia, John Mark abandoned the mission. The Bible didn't really say why, but he went back home. Paul wasn't too pleased about that. Paul's philosophy was, there is no turning back. I endure all things for the elect's sake. If they stone me, if I can get up, I'll preach again the next time I have an opportunity. But John Mark abandoned it and went back. And the time came that Paul wanted to go visit the churches they'd been to, and what a wonderful thing that is. Go visit them to see how they're doing. And Barnabas, who was a cousin of John Mark, said, let's take John Mark with us. Paul said, no, we're not taking him with us. He quit on me last time. He's not going. And he didn't. As a matter of fact, the Bible says there was a sharp contention between Paul and Barnabas. And Paul and Silas went to Syria and Cilicia, I think it was. And Barnabas and John Mark went to Cyprus. There was a division, the feelings of the contention was that strong. The Bible says it was sharp contention, and they went their separate ways. But now he's telling Timothy, bring Mark with you. Aren't you thankful for a forgiveness among our ministry and among the church? Oh, we need to be cautious about what we do in the church. And Brother Clem had prayed it so many times in his church. We ought to look over each other for good and not for evil. We need to have a forgiving spirit. I want to get into all that. We don't have time tonight, but I do want to mention this in closing. In verse 13, he says, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. What is that talking about? I don't know exactly. I read a lot of commentary, and I don't know exactly what it's talking about, Brother James, but I know this. You know, I mentioned on my cell phone, you know, I Google a lot of KJV definition of words. Matter of fact, he was talking about one place in here, in subverting of the hearers. Subverting comes from a word which means like catastrophe. To preach unsound doctrine is a catastrophe. We need to preach things that's backed up by thus saith the Lord. But another thing I can Google on my phone, I Google up the average weather, average temperatures, winter temperatures for Rome. Came on my phone that fast. I used to go look in the World Book Encyclopedia and hope I could find it. Came to me that fast. The average temperature in December, January, and February in Rome, the average high temperature is from the low 50s to the high 50s. The temperature at night drops from 40 down into the mid 30s is the average temperature. Paul, Bible scholars tell us, was in a Mamertine prison at this time. It was cold at night. It got very cold. If you read about those prisons, that's not like what we have now. They were dark, dismal, dreadful places to be. The stench was there. And Paul was in prison. And he's telling this young preacher that, and you know, again, another tradition, again, I try not to bring too much outside of the Bible because I don't know if it's accurate or not. But I know this, St. Francis of Assisi said one time, preach always. And when necessary, use words. Let that soak in a minute. Meditate upon that. Preach everywhere. And when necessary, use words. You think about the examples that from the past, the ministers of this church, many of them are pictured out here on the wall. They were faithful. They kept coming and kept coming and drove thousands of miles across their life. Preaching sometimes to a large congregation, sometimes just to a remnant of the saints of God. I've seen my daddy go to Baton Rouge before and preach to two sisters. That's all that was there. Now, usually more than that, but one time it was just two sisters there. Sister Kate Watts and Sister Elrie Malotz. And my daddy was all that went, all that gathered at Bethel Church that day. And I was told that Timothy was stoned to death. They were having a parade for the Princess Diana. Goddess Diana, excuse me, not Princess Diana. Goddess Diana. And he tried to interrupt it. And they said he stoned to death. Again, I don't know if that's accurate. That's what people say. So, well, let's leave that alone. But he's telling them here, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee and the books, but especially the parchments. So if you can't bring my coat if you can. Because this prison's cold. But if you don't, if that's too burdensome to bring, be sure to bring the books. Most Bible scholars think that's the books of the Pentateuch, if you will. The five books that Moses wrote, the first five books of the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The parchments, they believe, were written on animal skins. Parchment came from the word membrane. Which came from animal skins, and they were the New Testament things were written on these parchments. He said to this young preacher that I want my coat because it's cold, but if you don't bring it, don't worry about it. Bring my books and bring my parchments. He wanted to spend his last days on the earth meditating upon the things of God and giving himself wholly unto them. And then right here at the end of the book of this 2 Timothy. You know, he told him in 1 Timothy, till I come. And he told him in 2 Timothy, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. And then at the very end of 2 Timothy, he says, do thy diligence to come before winter. I'd like to have my coat before winter. But when the prison got even worse in winter, and he went there, he said, boy, I sure would love to have God's word to read during these dismal times in my life when I'm in prison. What a beautiful relationship this is, and I hope you've seen just a little bit of this evening. Things I've called to your attention again, the things I would try to bring to your remembrance again. Go home and study these things in 1 and 2 Timothy and see, read more about this wonderful relationship between this old father in Israel and a young brother who told him, said, let not man despise thy youth. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. That's what a minister should be. He should fill those qualifications. He should be an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity, in spirit and faith and in purity. May the Lord continue to bless this association and call ministers. Friends, there's a lot of churches without pastors. There's some pastors without churches. And regardless, both of them are sad situations. And let's never take them for granted. Brother Russell prayed tonight for the ministers in our studies and in our travels. I encourage all of you and all of us to pray for that all the time. That we'd be, you know, he told Timothy here, said, give thyself wholly unto them and meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly unto them. Why? That thy profiting, he mentioned, is profitable. All scriptures given is profitable. But he said that thy profiting may appear to all. I don't want to preach and make a name for myself. But I trust that my preaching will become more and more profitable. Because it's important. It's important enough that Paul said, I endure all things for the elect's sake. They can whip me, they can stone me, they can do whatever. But I'm a chosen vessel unto my Lord, and I'm going to preach until I can't. And again, historians and Bible scholars tell us that he was beheaded in Rome. I don't know about that, but I expect to see him when the Lord returns. I expect to see Paul with him. May the Lord bless you is our prayer this evening.